Let us hear the word this morning from the New Testament, Acts 2, 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear them, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, and Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes and Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But the others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading also comes from the New Testament, from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, chapter 8. Verses 12 through 17. Again, listen to the word of God. "So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, 'Abba, Father,' it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Well, we can only imagine what that day, that first Pentecost, was really like nearly 2,000 years ago. All of the people in the entire world who believed in Jesus Christ at that point, and there were only about 120, we are told, were gathered together in the upper room, the very same upper room where a mere 7 weeks earlier Jesus had celebrated that final Passover with his disciples. They had been waiting together in Jerusalem as Jesus instructed them, waiting for God to send the power of the Holy Spirit. 10 days earlier, Jesus had ascended into heaven, and he had commanded his disciples and all the other believers to wait in Jerusalem, that the Spirit would be coming, and when the Spirit came, they would be empowered to go forth as his witnesses, even to the ends of the earth. So they waited, and they waited, not knowing how long they would have to wait. They waited 10 days. And I'd be willing to lay money on the fact that back then, people were no better at waiting and being patient than we are today. So those 10 days must have been agonizing. And yet they obeyed, crammed together, crowded together in that upper room, 120 people. And finally, the chosen day arrived, and it happened to be another Jewish festival day. For just as the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus came during the Jewish feast of Passover, so this wonderful blessing came during the Jewish Feast of Weeks, which by that time was already called Pentecost, because it came 50 days after the celebration of the Passover. Pentecost was a celebration of the fulfillment of the barley harvest, the beginning of the wheat harvest, and also through the years it had also become a celebration of the giving of the law through Moses at Mount Sinai. So yet again, Jewish believers from all over the Roman Empire were crammed into Jerusalem, and suddenly we are told from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where those 120 believers were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them, and all 120 of these believers were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Put yourself in that room and imagine the sights, the sounds, the smells, the things that were going on when all of a sudden into that room comes a wind like a tornado and fire falling from heaven, and in a brief reversal of the curse of the Tower of Babel, suddenly you are enabled to speak in a language. You may not even know what that language is, but it's certainly not a language that you would ever have the opportunity to learn. And then you rush out from that upper room into the city and you begin to speak in that language, giving praise to God, testifying to the good news of Jesus Christ, just as Jesus promised. Things had come to pass. Just as he promised, the Holy Spirit had come, to the amazement of all of the inhabitants of Jerusalem who are witnessing this. Must have been an amazing day. And of course, as human nature is wont to do, there were those who doubted, those who sneered and said that these believers were only drunk. I love in the next verse, which we didn't hear, Peter stands up and says, "We're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, give us a few hours at least." But Peter stood up and he preached what may be the greatest sermon ever preached. For we learn that at the end of this, 5,000 people are added to the number of the believers. In the space of one day, the believers had been transformed from a small band of cautious, antsy people huddling together in that upper room to now a large group of bold witnesses who are empowered by this divine wind and fire. It's a day I'm sure that they talked about and remembered for years to come. The day that God did something new, where God formed a new body of believers that we call the church. The day that God sent the Holy Spirit. But this isn't the first time that the Holy Spirit appears in the Scriptures. It's, you know, God has always existed in tri-unity as one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. Hold that thought. We're going to talk about that next week on Trinity Sunday. But so it's not as if Acts chapter 2 comes and then poof, shazam, the Holy Spirit appears for the first time. Actually, we go all the way back to the beginning. Look at Genesis chapter 1. The Holy Spirit is hovering, brooding over the waters at the dawn of creation. It is the Spirit, the breath, the wind of God that creates the universe. And then throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit also rushes or falls at certain times upon certain individuals like prophets or judges or kings, enabling these people to do extraordinary things in the power of God for a period of time. Even in the Gospels, before the time of the Acts of the Apostles, we find the Spirit being active. It is the Spirit who overshadows the Virgin Mary and enables her to conceive and give birth to our Savior Jesus Christ. And the Spirit falls in the form of a dove upon Jesus at his baptism. Jesus also teaches a great deal about the Spirit, especially in the Gospel of John. In chapter 3, he talks to Nicodemus about the coming of the Spirit. In the upper room, in chapters 14 through 16, he talks a great deal about the coming of the Holy Spirit. You can read those passages later to learn more of what Jesus teaches about the Spirit. So it's not that the Spirit came for the first time. That's not what makes this day of Pentecost special. The Spirit had come before. What makes this day special is that the Holy Spirit came in a new way, first of all, coming not just upon select individuals, but upon all who believe in Jesus Christ. Everyone who has faith in God is given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and not just for a short period of time, not just enabling them to do one or two tasks, but permanently, a permanent gift of God's own presence living in us and with us, enabling us to be new people. With the coming of the Spirit in this new way on the day of Pentecost, the church is born as people from all over the world receive this gift and therefore are bound together with each other. And in the power of the Spirit, in the explosive, dynamic power of the Spirit, are united directly to Jesus Christ himself. The word that Luke uses here in the book of Acts for power is the same word we get the word dynamite from. Or dynamic, or dynamo. This is the kind of power that comes through the Holy Spirit, an explosive power, an amazing power that God gives to all who believe, creating this new body of believers. And as a result, these very ordinary people, people like you and me, there's nothing special about them, were enabled and empowered to do extraordinary things. And we're bound together as one people in spite of all of the differences that we read about. Differences in language, in culture, in custom. And the result was phenomenal. And the result is a matter of historic record as well. Because through the power of the Holy Spirit, the message of the gospel goes forth throughout the whole Roman Empire and turns that empire absolutely upside down. In the space of a mere 3 centuries, Christianity goes from this tiny sect of Judaism to wide enough and powerful enough to be noticed by the empire, to be persecuted by the empire, to be despised by the empire, to have Christians thrown to the lions, Christians covered with tar and pitch and set on fire, Christians crucified all up and down the roads. This is all a matter of historic record. But then, within the space of a few more years, Christianity becoming the official religion of the Roman Empire. And today, being the number one faith in the whole world, with over 1 billion people calling themselves Christians. Now, that didn't happen with any of the other religions that were being practiced in the first century. You don't hear of anybody practicing Manichaeism or anybody practicing Mithraism. Some of you may have never heard of those religions. You don't hear of anybody still worshiping the Roman gods or the Greek gods. And yet Christianity has gone forth and has absolutely turned the world upside down. The only explanation that I can find that makes any sense of that is the power of the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit who binds us together today as one body of believers, that same Spirit who empowers us today and sends us forth in Jesus' name to live and proclaim the good news of the gospel. That is what we are celebrating on this day of Pentecost, the birth of God's transformed people and transforming people through the explosive power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You guys are getting so good at that. And while I could talk for literally, how I could talk for hours about the gifts of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit. I know you're all getting very nervous right now. I won't, don't worry, I won't go on for hours. I could, but I won't. I just want to focus today on a few specific gifts that Paul talks about in that short little passage from Romans chapter 8. At this particular point in Paul's argument in his letter to the Romans, he's talking about a particular problem that every one of us who believe in Jesus faces. And that is, how can we be Christians? How can we be united to Jesus Christ? How can we die to the old self and be resurrected as new people and yet still go on sinning? How can we be Christians and sinners at the same time? Why is that possible? Romans chapter 7, Paul puts it this way, "I don't understand my own actions," Paul writes. "I do not do what I want. I do the very things that I hate. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it." Does this sound familiar? I know the right thing to do. I want to do the right thing, and yet over and over again, I find myself doing the very things that I don't want to do. I find myself doing the very things that I know are wrong. How can that be? "Wretched man that I am," Paul cries out at the end of chapter 7, "who will save me from this quagmire? Who will save me from this quandary that I have where I want to do the right things, but I just can't find the power to do them?" And of course, the answer that Paul gives at the end of chapter 7 is that Jesus Christ has come just for this purpose, to rescue us from this great problem that we have. But throughout chapter 8, Paul fleshes out how exactly Jesus rescues us from this problem, and the way he does it is through the power, that explosive power of the Holy Spirit. That in this dynamic power, we put to death the deeds of the body. We put to death those sinful things that we don't want to do, and in his power, we then live. This is what we call the process, and it is very important to realize it is a process of sanctification, the process of, in the power of the Spirit, being transformed, being made holy and new. Because we come to Jesus Christ and we put our faith in him, we trust in him, we confess that he is our Lord and Savior, and right then, at that moment, our salvation is sure. Right then, at that moment, we can go to the bank with the fact that we will be with Jesus Christ forever and all eternity. And yet, at that moment, there still is a long process of salvation that God works in us. For the Holy Spirit comes, the very Spirit who has planted the seeds of faith, nurtured the seeds of faith, brought us to that point where we do believe in Jesus Christ. The Spirit then takes over and continues to do the work of sanctification and transformation within us. That is a lifelong process that the Spirit works in us. Sometimes it is agonizingly slow. Sometimes we get in the way of what God wants to do in us. We grieve the Spirit, as Paul says. We are out of step with the Spirit, as Paul says in another place. I think we all understand here what we're talking about, this process that I look back on who I was and how I used to live, and I'm not that way anymore because God has been at work in my life, and yet I look ahead to where I need to be, and oh boy, do I have a long way to go. And yet it's the Spirit that moves us from here to there. And the good news is we can't lose that blessing. The good news is it is a permanent blessing in our life, the power of the Spirit. As I said at Pentecost, the Spirit came permanently upon all who believe. We can be filled again and again with the power of the Spirit, but we always have God in us and with us and for us if we believe in Jesus Christ. And we know, we are assured that when God begins a work in somebody, he doesn't leave it half done. When God begins a work in somebody, he doesn't change his mind halfway through and say, you know what, maybe not such a good idea that I'm at work in that person's life. We know that God will bring to completion and fulfillment this work that he has begun in each of us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, I know that some of you hear phrases that I'm dropping here, phrases like becoming holy people, becoming more like Jesus Christ, putting the old self to death and being raised again, and little alarm bells are going off in your head. You're saying, ugh, that just sounds awful. Man, I don't want that in my life. I'm a little frightened here to think of the Holy Spirit at work in my life. You know, there are a lot of people, this will not shock you probably, that equate being a Christian with not ever having any fun for the rest of my life. There are people who equate being a Christian with having to give up all of these things that I like to do. Some of you are nodding your heads. You've heard this before, right? Well, here in Romans 8, Paul is taking issue with that line of thinking. He even says, you did not receive this spirit of slavery to fall back again into fear. This isn't a spirit of fear. This isn't a spirit of, oh no, what's going to happen now? This is the spirit of adoption, he says. And when we cry, Abba, Father, it is the very same Holy Spirit bearing witness in us that we are children of God, adopted as children of God. Now, when Paul's talking about Abba here, he's not referring to that 70s band from Sweden, you know, with the big hair and the really weird outfits. Seeing if you're listening. Abba is the Aramaic word for father. Actually, to be more accurate, it is the word for daddy or papa. We little children, little sons and daughters, called their fathers Abba. And so Paul is saying here that when we receive this dynamic power of the Holy Spirit as a gift, we are now enabled to have a relationship with God in the very same way that little children have a relationship with their daddies. Is that not an amazing thought? So many people don't think of God this way. So many people think of God as some cold, distant record keeper. You know, up there keeping track of all the little things that we do wrong, of some angry person up there trying to steal away all of our good times, trying to enforce a rigid discipline on us, someone who basically wants to make our lives a living hell. So many people think of God that way. Maybe that's the relationship that they had with their fathers. I don't know. So many of us have problems with our parents. But Paul here is refuting this. Paul is saying that when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you become God's holy, beloved children. And that is a good thing. That is a sweet thing. That is a joyful thing. You become an heir of God, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Remember a few weeks ago, I said, everything that belongs to Jesus is now given to us as well, shared with us. We are co-heirs with Christ to receive the inheritance that God wants to give to us. And God is our Abba, our Papa, our Daddy. He doesn't want to give us bad things. What father wants to give their wee little children poison? What father wants to give their wee little children something that's going to make them angry or sick? That's not who God is. God wants to give us good things. We have no reason to be afraid of our father any more than you see a little toddler afraid of mom or dad. They run right up to him, put their hands up and say, "I want to hold you." That always makes me laugh. "I want to hold you." They get it backwards. "No, I want you to hold me." That's the kind of relationship, Paul says, that we can have with God through the power of the Holy Spirit, one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given to us, the very gift of himself. The third person of the Trinity, the Spirit dwelling in us and with us and for us and leading us into all good things, leading us into all fullness and hope and joy and peace. And it is a guarantee, Paul says elsewhere, if you have the Spirit in your life, that is a guarantee that one day you will dwell in all fullness and eternity with God forever and ever. Hallelujah. Like I said, I could go on for hours. I hope you'll go home and open up your Bibles and search out all the passages that talk about the power of the Spirit. If you have a concordance with your Bible, it's easy to do. And read those this week and read what it means to live in the power of the Spirit with the gifts that God gives to us. But today we are celebrating once again God has given the gift of himself and has united us together as one people, his church, his body, ordinary people like us, transformed in the power of the Spirit in an extraordinary way to be adopted into the family of God as his children, to be empowered and enabled to go forth and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and to become more and more like him. Today we celebrate that we are loved and that we are blessed by God with an indescribable gift. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To him alone be the glory. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the great gift that you have given us, the gift of yourself. And we pray that you would continue to fill us and anoint us in the power of your Spirit so that we may become more and more like you and so that we may be empowered to go forth in your name and spread your good news. Lord, help us to go deeper in our relationship with you and to give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing our middle hymn, hymn number 140.